The neighborhoods around Atlanta Hartsfield-Jackson Airport don't look the way they did a few decades ago, even a few years ago for some. Unlike the airport itself, they haven't grown or improved for the most part. As the airport has become the busiest in the world, communities around it have shrunk or in some cases vanished. That's the focus of a new book called Flight Path. The author is Hannah Palmer. She grew up in Forest Park and now lives in East Point. Her book documents the transformations of Atlanta's South Side. And Hannah Palmer joins us now. Hi there.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So it sounds like you saw a photograph of your parents and it got you thinking about this because the city they were posing in doesn't exist anymore.
That's right. My grandmother gave me a small news clipping from 1978, the year I was born. And it showed my parents, who were kind of hippies. They were in a Lamaze class. So they were in the Clinton News
Daily. In 1978, that was newsworthy.
Yes. It was very novel at the time. And the caption said, Mountain View Couple. And I was just curious about that. First of all, it's always fun to see your parents so young. My parents are divorced, so I didn't have many pictures of them together. But the bigger question for me is, what's Mountain View? Is that a neighborhood? Was that where they lived? So I started doing some research and discovered very little had been written about Mountain View.
But it was an actual city.
It was a city.
With a police force and a tax code.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was very small, but it did have a charter. It was a city in North Clayton County, right on the edge of the east side of the Atlanta airport.
When did it disappear?
1978, the year I was born. So these are the last days.
So you killed Mountain View.
It's my fault.
And what happened to it? Was it swallowed up by the airport?
You know, that's a huge question in the book. What happened to it? Because as I asked people what happened to Mountain View, I heard a lot of different myths, a lot of stories that it was shut down due to corruption. The charter was revoked because the mayor was corrupt and there was all this scandal about the police force. All this stuff is true. But now that we're 30 years later and we look back, what happened to Mountain View is it got swallowed by the airport. It was right in the flight path of those northernmost runways, so it was terribly noise impacted. The people that were living there in Mountain View told me stories about just constant disruption, flights so low that you could see people's faces in the windows of the planes. It was no place to live. At a certain point, as air traffic picked up, it really was uninhabitable.
But you grew up with a certain level of noise your whole childhood, did you not?
I did.
When did you realize that wasn't normal?
Well, for a lot of people, it is still very normal.
That's not the general experience, I should say that way.
Exactly. Well, I went away to college and just to Decatur, not that far away, but that was far enough that when I would come home to visit or to see my family, friends, or go to church, the noise was noticeable. And then when I moved away after college to New York, and would come back, it was kind of shocking because the airport added another runway, which the fifth runway really is a flight path directly over Forest Park. And it wasn't just the noise, but just the visual, too. It felt like we lived under a freeway.
How did you go about finding some of these communities? It must have been a difficult research task to track down the history of these communities that went away.
That's right. And I didn't have... I'm not a reporter or a historian. I didn't really have the tools to begin asking these questions. So I just started talking to people that I knew. My parents had been in Clayton County for a long time. So they would be like, you need to talk to this person. And I got a lot of, oral histories, just people telling me what they remember. But ultimately, I spent a lot of time digging around in deed books and, just in records. I mean, that stuff was kind of boring at times. I would find little pieces of the puzzle that were exciting. But I tell people now, one of the most helpful groups that I talked to were firemen, because it turns out that firemen know everything. They're often on the job for decades. They see cities change, and they know the buildings and the landscape intimately because they're doing code enforcement, and they're out annually checking on buildings, and they know who owns the property, they know what happened, how the use has changed over time, and they knew a lot more than anybody else I talked to about what happened to Mountain View and to the houses where I once lived.
This is sort of, I think it was described by Atlanta Magazine as part memoir, part urban history. And you sort of weave your own story into it. And in a way, I got the sense, at least, that your personality in some way was shaped by being that close to the airport. How is that? You look surprised. You don't feel that way.
I I had the sense
when I was reading it that there was ways in which the airport, pardon the pun, but kind of overshadowed your childhood. It became kind of a part of your own history.
I think that's true for me and probably for a whole generation of people who grew up alongside the airport. That it's something of a literary device, but I think it's true that I grew up with the airport. My lifetime, being born in 1978, was a time when the airport was undergoing massive expansion. And becoming the airport that we use today, it didn't look anything like that before the 70s. So it's not a stretch to say that we grew up together, and now we're grown up and kind of looking at each other, trying to make sense of each other. But I think everybody kind of ties their own personal life up in the places where they live and where they spend time. And I tried to be intentional about doing that in the book. I set out to write some essays about these places. And in the process of research and talking to different people, I actually learned a lot about urban planning and design in that process. It's not a vocabulary I had at all when I started writing. And now I'm a professional urban designer. So there has been a transformation in the process of research that has been really empowering and given me a lot of peace about that change over time.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Hannah Palmer. She is an author. Her new book is called Flight Path, and it documents the evolving relationship between the Hartsfield-Jackson Airport and the communities that surround it. So in the process of becoming an urban designer, you found some successes and some failures. Can you give me an example of a place that you think was a mistake, a way in which the airport's relationship with the community went wrong?
I can't think of a mistake. I look back at...
What about the fact that it's not open, it doesn't have an observation deck?
I would call that a missed opportunity. There's, again, I grew up with the Atlanta airport. I live in the vicinity. So this is what I think airports are like everywhere. And only as, a professional now who works on aviation projects around the world, I see that not all airports have this function with their community. Some are more open. Some do have observation decks or public spaces where people can come and enjoy the airport. It's not...
Because the closest Starbucks to you is at the airport.
Right. That's a statistic I like to share that really for up until that Glenwood Kroger opened, there was no Starbucks south of I-20 inside the perimeter. None, except the one in the airport. So
that you couldn't get to.
Right. So I'm not in a food desert, but I've been in a, Frappuccino desert for a long time because the closest amenities to my house are actually behind a wall, a security wall. So I've started kind of questioning that security wall. I think the stories that I've heard from all these different people who grew up near the airport were that it used to be a public space. People would go watch airplanes. People would go, park along the runways and make out in their cars. people would walk the gates like it was a catwalk, just something to do on a Friday night instead of going to the mall. Kids I grew up with would go to the airport. So that changed after 9/11 for good reason. But I think it's worth considering if we have this big hunk of public infrastructure, how can we make it more of a public amenity that the surrounding community can enjoy?
And tell me about a success. I mean, we hear a lot about the economic development at the airport, although it has also been true that the economic development that goes on at the airport doesn't necessarily bleed into the surrounding communities. People, because it's so all-inclusive, people don't often leave the airport and go to a neighborhood diner in the way they might have.
It's not easy to do.
Yeah.
A lot of the tourist money is trapped inside of the wall. There's so many employment opportunities at the airport. It's like one of the state's largest employers. So why is there so much unemployment in the immediate airport area? There's a lot of work going on right now with the Aerotropolis Alliance and this comprehensive planning across all the Aerotropolis area to kind of connect workforce development inside the airport with the surrounding communities. But it's still sort of the money's trapped in there. I'm trying to think of an example. I think the Tri-Cities where I live are really charming historic railroad towns where more and more airport employees want to live, where they have lived historically, and now they're willing.
Returning.
Yeah, right. There's a real renaissance in those areas. And it's people who work for Delta and Porsche and inside of the airport. They want to be able to live in the community where they work. So that's a return to the past, that people actually are like, we can live near the airport again.
So it's kind of common when you go to any city that the area right around the airport is considered to be not a savory neighborhood, right? I mean, that's fair. Mm-hmm. It's a place that generally parents tell their kids to avoid. Why is that? Is it just the noise that makes that area less vibrant, less desirable?
The best I can understand it and explain it, and I'm not like a sociologist, is that as that noise impacts from the aircraft, and there is pollution in the flight path, and then the traffic impact, it just drives down property values. And in many cases, certainly the case of my three homes, is that these areas were actually rezoned. They were once residential neighborhoods. They were rezoned as industrial and commercial, sort of light manufacturing areas. So again, that also drives down property values. It's not a place where you want to spend time. And this is only directly in the worst impacted areas of the flight path that's the case. There's still a lot of areas outside of the noisiest, polluted places that are quite livable and lovely, and I live in one of them now.
How far are you from the airport? How far a drive is it?
I'm probably only like 3 miles from the airport, maybe 2 miles from the airport, but the drive is 15 or 20 minutes depending on, you know, it's complicated getting it out of the airport. It's not an easy thing to get in and out of. So it's not like I can ride my bike. I always tell people, take MARTA.
Because that's even from 3 miles away.
Sometimes I'll just take them to the East Point MARTA station because it's easier.
Do you like being in that close of proximity to the airport? Does it feel comfortable at this point in your life?
That's a tough question. I like the South Side. It's where I'm from. It's where my community is. There's so much I could say about why I love the South Side. I find it charming, and I know everybody. It's my world. It's where I have roots. There happens to be the world's busiest airport in my neighborhood. Sometimes I use it, and it's really convenient. I actually don't fly that much. I fly maybe 3 or 4 times a year, and it's no problem to get to the airport. Because I live just north of the airport, the noise isn't really any worse at my house than it is in, say, Decatur. So the noise doesn't bother me.
Because you're not in the direct flight path.
Right. The runways are parallel east to west. If you live at Camp Creek just west of the airport, or in Forest Park just east of the airport, it's very noisy.
What did you end up, when you think back to when you very, very first started this whole quest for information, where have you ended up? What changed in your mind about an airport's impact on the South Side?
Well, I've tried to be honest and even-handed about, you know, the airport. Like, I think I actually started out feeling, kind of angry. Like, the airport was my enemy, and it was a villain that I wanted to expose because it destroyed my neighborhood. And at this point, I also have traveled enough and visited enough southern cities to realize that the airport is the only reason I can live in Atlanta. It's made the city that we all live in and love. It's made a middle class possible in Atlanta. It is it's the reason why my parents are here and where I am here, and despite having lived in other cities. So there's a complicated bargaining going on between the airport made Atlanta great, and it also degraded the South Side. I'm interested in the future, though, and how we can try to strike a balance between this amenity, this thing we have on the South Side, and actually making the South Side livable again.
Did you actually create plans and suggestions that you will deliver to the managers at Hartsfield-Jackson?
I have some ideas. I do. Just in case they're listening. I think that, you know, what I've been talking about creating some sort of public interface between the airport and the surrounding communities would be a gesture of openness. That could be some sort of park, or I talk about, like, I have two little boys and they love going to watch airplanes. And just last weekend, you know, it's beautiful Saturday morning. I took him to a little parking lot on the edge of a runway on the north side of the airport, which is great for watching planes. And it's just me and these two cute little boys watching airplanes, and security comes and pulls up, you know, right in front of us. You know, so there's really no public place. If you're hanging out watching airplanes, you look suspicious in Atlanta. Like, just just make a little place where the community can enjoy the spectacle of the world's busiest airport.
That is author Hannah Palmer. We've been talking about her new book, Flight Path, which looks at the changing landscape in the neighborhoods around Atlanta's airport. That book comes out on April 4th, and Hannah will host a launch party on April the 13th. That'll be at the Highland Inn and Ballroom Lounge, 7 p.m. Hannah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting me.